Glorious. Glorious. Would you join me in prayer? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Simeon is one of the minor characters in the Christmas story. The poor guy, he has got a rough draw. His story is too Christmas-specific to read at any other time of the year, but it is not important enough to read on Christmas. If you don't know Simeon's story, allow me to introduce you. Simeon was a priest. He was a priest in the temple in Jerusalem, which is not far from Bethlehem. That is how Simeon became a part of the gospel story, by happenstance, because of Mary and Joseph being caught in Bethlehem by the whims of the Roman Empire and its census. He was a priest, and there was one central question that dominated his life. What does salvation look like? In some ways, this question haunted Simeon's life. You see, the Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon that before he died, he would witness the salvation of his people. What a promise! What a promise! Surely salvation would be a remarkable thing, a wondrous, wonderful thing. And looking for this, it was Simeon's life. But this prophecy, it's a double-edged sword, because he did not know what form the salvation of his people would take, only that he would see it. By the time that we meet Simeon in Luke chapter 2, he is an old man. He is an old man who has lived a life of disappointed hope. He had seen many occasions arise that might have been the salvation of his people, but didn't turn out to be. He saw the temple of Jerusalem rebuilt in his lifetime. The temple had lay in ruins for 500 years, an ever-present reminder of the people's defeat at the hands of empire. This wasn't just a recreation of what had been before either. This was an expansion. This was an improvement. What had been a small stone building became an enormous complex. The temple stood on this enormous raised dais of earthworks that still stands today. The western wall, the retaining wall of that, still stands, and people are even now at this moment praying there and stuffing tiny folded prayers into the mortar work. This was built during his lifetime, during Simeon's lifetime. I wonder if Simeon, as a young man, had seen the temple's building and thought, this is a remarkable thing, a wonderful thing. Surely this temple must herald the salvation that the Holy Spirit told me of. It was not. Because this temple, it came with the bankroll of the Roman Empire. It might have been a temple to the God of Israel, but the Romans were the boss. The outer wall of the courtyard of the temple itself was built in a barracks for Roman soldiers into the temple itself. Simeon was promised that he would see the people's salvation in his disappointed hope, seeing what the temple became. Simeon turns to God, saying, you told me I would see salvation. Any time now. Later, as a middle-aged man, Simeon saw Herod become the king of the Jews. He was called Herod the Great. And under his leadership, ties with Rome grew ever closer. He was a lifelong friend of Mark Antony. He was favored by Julius Caesar. Herod was a savvy politician who knew which side of his bread was buttered. Perhaps this was the salvation that the Holy Spirit had promised. A leader who would navigate the troubled waters of the world. It was a remarkable thing, a wondrous thing, a period of peace with the empire that came from new political leadership. Simeon, then a middle-aged man, must have seen this politician's savvy and wondered, is this Is this the salvation the Holy Spirit told me of? No, it was not. Simeon saw that for all his appeasements, Rome was still their masters. They still taxed the people relentlessly, and King Herod oversaw the building of a fortress city where there had been none, called Caesarea on the sea. Caesarea was built with a thick wall that extended all the way out into the ocean. The Roman Empire ruled from that new seat that the people of Israel had built with their hands. During Passover, the Romans marched an army straight from Caesarea, straight down the middle of Jerusalem, right into the temple where they already had a barracks, just to remind the people who was in charge. Roman power was an iron fist inside of a velvet glove. It was a spear decorated with flowers. No, this politician, he was not the people's salvation. No prince or principality or king or kingdom could do any of this. Simeon was promised he would see the people's salvation. In his disappointed hope, Simeon turned to God, saying, "You told me I would see salvation. Anytime now." And that's how things stayed until we meet Simeon as an old man, praying at the temple, still waiting to see this wonderful, remarkable thing. But then into the temple came a couple holding a child, a newborn. They were there at the temple to dedicate the child to God as the law required. And Simeon was the priest on duty to handle it. It is the bread and butter of temple work, just as ordinary as a sunrise. They handed the child over to Simeon. They handed this child over with a haunted look in their eye, as if they were afraid that the power and promise of this child might be taken away from them. This too is the most ordinary thing. What parent's heart doesn't shake a bit when they first pass their child into the arms of another? What parent's heart doesn't shake a bit to awake in the middle of the night to the sound of quiet from the crib? This was the daily bread of a priest in Jerusalem, to dedicate a firstborn child. 100 times Simeon had done this. But this was Mary and Joseph and the child Jesus, as ordinary and as glorious as the first rays of light after a long dark night. And this ordinary thing, to hold this child, this only son, full of light and truth, and Simeon, he just knew. He just knew, in the face of that ordinary wonder, that salvation came not in pomp, not in religious facade, not in worldly power, that salvation came in the most ordinary things. The ordinary. It's easy to overlook. But the ordinary is where God comes into the world. It always has been. It's easy to overlook a new parent blearily blinking their way through the night every night to love a new person into the world. It's easy to overlook a family member white-knuckling it through a Christmas gathering, glancing nervously at the wine, but not drinking any. God bless them. It's easy to overlook someone handing a few dollars to someone down on their luck. Easy to overlook parents opening their home to a foster child. Easy to overlook children's coats collected for new neighbors arriving from warmer climes for a first winter in Boston. The ordinary, it is easy to overlook. But when you see it, you just know. This is where God comes into the world, and it always has been. Salvation is breaking into the world. You will see it anytime now.